At this time, I am super excited. I get to take a brief moment to introduce tonight's speaker. He is no stranger to anyone in this room. If you have ever had the pleasure of speaking with Mr. Gregg, you know he is passionate about his faith and honest about his journey. He is enthusiastic to share the word of God and encourage every person that he encounters. And tonight, we get to be blessed to encounter God through Mr. Gregg's teaching. Mr. Gregg, will you please join us?
Thank you. My earthly father had a huge personality. When he passed away at age 66, my mother was seeking a way to sort of keep his memory alive, to capture it so that all the people he knew could carry the feeling that they had from their relationship with him. She asked everyone who knew him to write their favorite recollection or story about him and send it to her. After collecting this wide variety of tales from relatives, co-workers, and his friends, she assembled them into a book and published only enough copies to give out to each person who had contributed their personal testimony. The plan was that we would all meet together not long after receiving our books and enjoy a day of remembering him. Well, when my copy showed up in the mail, I sat down in a comfortable chair, got my coffee, and started to read about who he was to all these different people. And I learned new and amazing things about his character and his ways that I had not known. There was one person who wrote about serving time in a federal prison. He said what kept him safe and alive was advice my father had given him, that he should always stand up for himself and not allow bullies to push him around, ever. One of my female cousins told of how she had been encouraged by my father when she earned her pilot's license pretty late in life. She was in her 40s. Apparently, he was telling her something very different from her other family members. My father, who had been himself a fighter pilot in World War II in the Pacific, saw in her the same passion for adventure and flight that he had, and he told her to go for it. Her other relatives had tried to dissuade her out of their own fear. So I'm sitting here reading, and story after story, I learned that he was a kind, active source of wisdom, correction, and encouragement to so many, and I marveled. I saw that his love and generosity extended far beyond just my mom, my brothers, and I, and I came to love him even more. Well, this reminded me that we also have a heavenly father. He looms even larger than my earthly father did in my life, and we happen to own a fascinating book that is a collection of true stories about him and all the countless ways he impacts the world and anyone who seeks him. And every time we open the Bible, we can see many unique, oh, there's one right now. We can see many unique ways he reaches into people's lives to help them. But beyond this amazing book, each one of you has, who are blessed to know him, has a personal testimony, a story all your own about what Jesus means to you that you should be able to share at any time. Who with? It may surprise you to learn that there are three distinct, very distinct recipients who are waiting breathlessly to hear from you. Let's consider, according to Scripture, who these very eager recipients are. The first eager recipients who are waiting breathlessly to hear what you personally have to say are God the Father and God the Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah, it's true. God wants to hear your personal testimony. He wants to listen as you share why you believe, what it is that you love about him, and why. How do I know that? Well, do you remember when they asked Jesus in his travels, "Teacher, what is the greatest commandment?" And what did he say? The passage is Mark 12:30. If you have your Bibles with you, feel free to turn there as we read tonight's key verse. And you must love the Lord your God. Hey, we just sang it, didn't we? And you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. This is the first and greatest commandment, right? So how can we do that? I remember that as a young guy starting out on the drums, I had always wanted a place of my own to practice them. My parents, they might have bought me the drums, but they didn't want to hear the noise in our house. And they used to tell me, well, get your friend's parents to drive over here and help you pack up the drums and drive them back to their house so you can be with your friends that have the electric guitars and you can practice and play with them. Well, I could do that, but I couldn't practice on my own to improve. You want to get better in practice. It wasn't until I was 33 years old that I finally had a place close enough to home where my drums could remain set up and I could go there anytime, day or night, 2 in the morning, 5 a.m., whenever, and bang away to my heart's content. And oh, how I loved that practice space. With all my heart, all my soul, all my mind, and I spent all my strength there every time I went down. I couldn't let it rest. I was always spending time playing because this is what I had waited for so long. So just how can we share our personal testimony with God? One way is to spend time telling him why you love him. Capture that in your outline. Tell God why you love him. The famous Christian poet, Elizabeth Barrett Browning, wrote this. How do I love thee? Let me count the ways. Well, this is the part of the, I know they just said, hey, we're going to be taught by Mr. Greg. This is part of the message where I get to be taught by all of you. I'd like to ask Miss Sarah, who we can't ever get enough of, to come up and help. We're actually going to whiteboard this. Specifically, what are some characteristics or things about God that you love?
He's always there.
Okay. Wonderful, yeah. Omnipresent or always there. Beautiful. Thank you. Joe Hathaway.
Where's it anew every day?
Ah.
He's unchanging.
Oh, man, that's amazing. Oh, are we going too fast? Okay. Thank you, Mr. Justin. Yeah, that's great. Anybody got Miss Linda?
He loves me.
He loves you. Amen. Yeah, how about that? Someday we'll all have a chance to sit around and talk about the fact that God loves us. Anybody else? Miss Donna.
He knows what logs we have in our eyes that we don't know about, and he will take them out of our eyes and change us. He still loves us.
Logs and shells.
Sweet. I'm working on a
distance.
Oh, awesome. That's. Beautiful. Can I contribute one? Oh, did you have another one? I was going to say guidance, personal guidance.
And protection, I think.
Beautiful. Let's stick the word angelic in front of protection. Because how many times, you're driving in the snow, right? And you're like, hey, my car's not doing what I'm telling it to do. Right, but it isn't. At the last minute, it's heading for that tree. Oh, look, it moved east back onto the road. I know I'm not the only one that's seen that happen. Another one of my personal favorites, he lifts me up when I fall down. A bruised reed he doesn't break, a dimly burning wick he doesn't quench. This, you notice how once we get started, we start off slow, but then once you start listing things, what happens? even if you can only think of one thing to tell him, I love you, Lord, about, do it anyway. And he will bring other things to your remembrance. If you keep doing this in your personal relationship with him, soon you'll sound like Psalm 45:1. My thoughts are filled with beautiful words for the king, and I will use my voice as a writer would use pen and ink. Now, allow me to suggest one way to make it easy to always have plenty of things to tell him you love him about. You're going to think it's cheating, but oh, it's so effective. Keep a journal. It doesn't have to be fancy. You can use your smartphone if you'd rather not use pen and ink. Mine is just bullet points. For example, I'm just going to read you a few entries from my journal. Hank B., dying of malabsorption in his early 20s, down to 107 pounds. We prayed for him before service started. A couple weeks later, I find out and enter in my journal. Hank B. gains 23 pounds in 1 week. It was that week that we had just prayed for him, by the way, after that service. Keeps that weight on the second week, then gains another 15 pounds in the third week. Goes to see his doctor, and here's the cherry on top. The doctor says, oh, your body mass index is normal again. 3 weeks from death's door to back to normal. I'll give you one more example. Holy Spirit prompting me to call John C. I argue. Hey, John hasn't responded to my calls. I've been trying. And there's a little gentle nudge in my heart. Try again. I call him up, and John invites me to his home in Staten Island. He wouldn't return my calls before. Then I go there. God opens his eyes to the gospel, and he asks, how can I receive Jesus? They're not all this remarkable, but boy, when you're watching, God does amazing things. The more you're watching, the more he shows you. So write in your journal or your smartphone just enough info to trigger your memory of what God did. Jot down briefly every time he does something wonderful for you or shows you an incredible new verse. You ever see a Bible verse that hits you so hard you're like, this is not just like I did my daily reading. I'm going to make note of this one special. Or demonstrates his great love for you in a real and personal way. Yet another way I can say with confidence that God is waiting breathlessly to hear these things from you is found in Psalm 22, verse 3. The psalmist says he inhabits the praises of his people. God lives for this. It's true. He's God. He doesn't need it, but he loves it. He loves to hear from his children. And Psalm 100, verse 4 instructs us to, and look at all the exclamation points, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. I liken this to when my wife, Miss Laura, tells me what she loves and appreciates about me. I love it. I can't get enough. I want to hear more. You didn't know that, did you? Why? Because she's my one true love. So when Mark 12:30 says to love God, well, yeah, he loves each of us equally, individually, and infinitely, and wants us to see him as our one true love. And one way we can do this is to tell him what we love about him, and another way is to keep a journal. Believe me, he is definitely worthy of receiving glory from us. Well, that's one group of recipients. There's a second group of recipients who are waiting breathlessly. Oh, they're so eager to hear your personal testimony. Don't laugh. Those recipients are other people. Let's go back to Jesus' words about the greatest commandment. After telling us to get first things first by loving God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, he tells us about another commandment in Mark 12:31. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. For as long as I've been coming to Westbridge, this is since 2009, I've heard this definition of love: wanting or doing the best for others at your own expense. Well, what is the very best thing, better than anything else there is, better than a new iPhone or a sports car or, you know, $5,000 a week for life or from Publishers Clearinghouse? What's the very best thing that you could possibly give to someone else? Jesus said it in John 17:3, and this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. There is nothing better that you could possibly give someone than to introduce them to the Savior. Why is that true? Well, consider how life was before you met Jesus. We all were living in darkness before we met him. We all were living in chains of sin. We all had something weighing us down that only he could deliver us from. John reminds us in 1 John 5:19 that we are of God, but we still live in a world where the evil one has control. So how do you tell other people about Jesus? Let's capture some easy ways you can do this. First, you can invite them to church. You may not know this, but statistically, the number one way that people come to church is because someone invited them. I used to think it was because you saw them crossing in traffic between your car and you rolled up a little bit and pinned their legs between the bumpers and said, repeat after me. But if you, you know, and you may have to say, hey, if you come with me to church, we'll go out to lunch afterwards and I'll be happy to listen to anything you want to say. But if you sense reluctance from someone you want to invite to come in person, remove all pressure by giving them a magnet, inviting them to, where are these, by the way? Oh, they're right up there, right on your way out, the bin on top of the corkboard there on the wall. Because this way they can watch online from their home. They can watch live, or maybe they can't make the service fit their schedule. You tell them, that's fine, you watch whenever you want. When that nut is going and practicing his drums at 2 in the morning, and when you wake up, go to the website and watch a message then. A second way you can tell others about Jesus is to be kind to them. Now, this is free, but it's a powerful way to show them the love of Jesus, especially in a situation where maybe they might not expect anyone to show them kindness. Some examples of this, I'm sure you can think of some, but what about letting someone go in front of you in the supermarket line? Another example is just smiling at someone. Or how about bringing them a cup of coffee or tea or baking them some cookies? Luke 6:35 says, he is kind to the ungrateful and the selfish. We cannot go wrong by imitating him. Can't make a mistake doing that. Third, and now we're getting serious now, ask to pray for them. Ask them if they would like prayers said for them about anything. Again, much like being kind, this simple request is both free and powerful. Maybe they're looking for a job for a long time. Or maybe you tell them, hey, you don't need to share any details if you don't want to. If you would like prayer said for you, I don't have to know what it's about. God knows. But you commit to pray for them and do it and watch what happens. They'll be watching and they'll see what happens. One of these first three ways we talked about might even open the door to a further step, where you can share a scripture verse or a passage that you think will encourage them. For instance, if they tell you that they think, I'm nothing special, I've always thought I'm nothing special, well, tell them they are special to God because they're made in his image. And direct them to the first two chapters of Genesis, where we are told by whom we were created and how we were created. If you're not sure where to go, that one you probably all know, but you might tell them some other thing in Scripture or that you know it says. But if you're not sure where to go, ask me or ask Pastor Robert. I should say ask Pastor Robert and then ask me. But Because I'll tell you this, if we don't know, I guarantee you, we'll find out and get back to you quickly. And lastly, another powerful way to introduce them to Jesus is to share your personal testimony with them. There's a story in Mark chapter 5 about a man who lives among the tombs, and he gets healed by Jesus. He's possessed by multiple demons. He screams out loud at night. He's scary. He's been chained up by the local farmers, but he keeps breaking free of his shackles, and he seems like something straight out of a horror movie. But even such an extreme example of concentrated evil like this is no match for God's power. And after Jesus heals him, he sends the man on a very successful mission of telling others about what Jesus has done for him without any of the training the apostles had. Gee, he didn't need to spend 3 years at the feet of the Savior. Jesus said, go, tell them what I did for you. This guy is representative of all believers before we met Jesus. Oh, we may not have been demon-possessed like he was, but all of us were living in darkness before someone told us about Jesus. Go home to your friends and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you. Jesus instructed him in Mark 5:19. And now those same instructions, after Jesus healed him, go home to your friends and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you. Those are for us as well. Well, what is your home? It could be your family, right? It could be your friends. It could be your workplace. It could be the street you live on. That's who and where to share your personal testimony. And God promises that he works through you sharing it. He's going to do all the heavy lifting anyway. He's the one who convicts people. He's the one who draws them. He's the one who saves them. Our part is just to tell. I don't know about you. I can only speak for myself. But I got to start doing this more. As Pastor Robert taught very recently, you don't need to know a bunch of scriptures. You don't need to have answers to all their questions. You just need to share your personal story of what God has done for you. Because nobody can contradict that. It's impossible. It's what happened to you. And you know what? People can tell when you're speaking the truth. And please trust me on this one bit of personal experience. And see me after if you want examples, and I'll give you hundreds of them. When you personally see God give you the words to say, just as you need them, at the moment you need them, when you have no idea what you're going to say, the thrill of him speaking through you in real time is incredibly exciting. Now, I did say there were three recipients waiting breathlessly for you to share your testimony with them, right? The first ones are God the Father and God the Son. The second group is other people, such as your family, friends, co-workers and neighbors, even strangers if the Spirit prompts you. So who is the third one waiting breathlessly? Well, this answer might surprise you. It's yourself. You might be thinking, well, Mr. Gregg, why would I need to testify to myself? I already know all these things he's done for me, and I know what I love about him. Yes, but what happens when you go through really hard times that don't resolve quickly, but seem to drag on forever, or even keep getting worse? For example, what you might have lost your job and you've been knocking your brains out trying to find a new one and it ain't happening. Or maybe you've got an incurable disease that hurts all the time and none of the treatments bring you any relief whatsoever. When circumstances like these come into your life and just continue on and on, at times like this, what God has done for you can seem to be fading into the past. or slipping into the mist like a ghost ship. And you're like, is there really a ship there? I thought I could see it. I don't see it anymore. And each day starts to feel bleaker than the last. And then you try to call to mind what you always loved about God or Jesus, but now the enemy whispers, that's not true. Why did you ever think that? You didn't go looking for this question, but now it confronts you. How do you know beyond the shadow of a doubt that what you believe about him is true? In Jesus' prayer in John 17:17, he asked the Father, teach them your word, which is truth. Jesus is our example, right? His time on earth, they call him the pioneer and perfecter of our faith in Hebrews 12:2. So did he ever have any hard times? When he was weak and hungry, how about after 40 days and nights in the wilderness? The enemy tried to make him doubt who he was and disobey. So what did our example, weak and suffering and hungry and drained of strength and 40 days into a big honking trial, what did our example do? Each new temptation or lie the devil attacked him with, he answered with, it is written, and proceeded to quote the word of God. Likewise, you and I, brothers and sisters, when all our confidence is being sapped and circumstances are pummeling us left and right, we should go back and use those notes on our phones and in our journals and testify to ourselves what we love about God from the Word of God, because the Word of God is truth. Use Google if you don't know the verse. Try to learn it for keeps, though, because one day you might really need it but not have your phone with you. Or you might not have any signal where you are. Or the internet where you're staying might be down. Learn where it says that God is like this thing you love about him. I can tell you from personal experience that when you are doubting, when you're doubting the very foundations of your faith, looking at what the Word of God says about your Lord will give you strength when you need it the most. Psalm 94:19 is true. When the cares of my heart are many, your consolations cheer my soul. The Word of God comforts us and consoles us. When the enemy whispers, God doesn't love you, there's a place in the Bible that refutes that. More than one, actually. When the enemy whispers, your sins aren't forgiven, know that that's a lie. Because as Jesus himself once said, heaven and earth may pass away, but my words will not pass away. Now, I'd like to offer you a takeaway for this week. Pick one of these three recipients and testify about Jesus. Pick any one and then take one of the actions suggested. If you pick God, tell him why you love him, or start a journal of what he's done for you. In doing so, you are giving your testimony to him. If you pick others, be kind to someone. Our actions testify about Jesus, right? They say it doesn't matter what you say as much as it matters what you do. Ask if you can pray for them. Invite them to church. And if the opportunity presents itself, share a verse or a passage of scripture. Perhaps this will lead to a chance to give your testimony of how you found Jesus and what you love about him. If you pick yourself, remind yourself of one of the things you love about God. You can start with the list we made earlier. And there's so many things we can be thankful for. But don't just stop there. After you've done it once, look for a chance to do it again. In fact, takeaway number 2 instructs us to keep doing it. keep that journal of why you love God going. Keep looking for people to be kind to. Keep testifying to yourself from the Word of God, the Bible. And here's what I really have to stress tonight. God wants us to testify about Him through our actions. But most importantly, He calls us each to go and tell others about Him. There comes a point when God desires we share our story of how we found Him and invite someone else to do the same. By the way, that just FYI, that part of my message is in red. Everything else is in black. That was to remind me, hey, ding, 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 this is important. Take the first step this week. Pick one recipient and testify about Jesus. Then come back here and tell me about it. What are one or two things you wrote in your journal? I'd love to hear about them. Or tell me about someone you've invited to church and why they're on your heart. I'd love to pray for them with you. I got a whole team of people. We'd love to pray for them. If you did share your testimony, tell me about it. If you've never shared your personal story of how Jesus found you and opened your eyes and brought you into His kingdom and overcame all your doubts and fears and revealed Himself to you, I would love to be the first one you practice upon. I mean it. So give God glory by telling Him why you love Him, telling others what He's done for you, and arm yourself with the truth of His Word about Himself. You will find yourself loving God and loving your neighbor as you love yourself in new and exciting ways. Hey, that's all those three recipients mentioned in those two commandments. If you can't remember who the recipients are and you lose your outline, just go to the two greatest commandments. They're in all the Gospels. Just look at Mark 12, 30 and 31. God, others, yourself. As we close in prayer, reflect on the message. If you're not sure which recipient he might be excited for you to share with, ask him to show you and to give you the strength to follow through. Let's pray together. Oh, Father, it may seem like an awesome responsibility, and it is, but it's your responsibility to do the work. Our part is just to open our mouths and tell, or show, or ask, or invite. You said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. But the Apostle John, after a lifetime of knowing you, said, his commandments, they're not burdensome. It's easy. We just got to try. So give us the strength to follow through this week and show us each the person that you would have us reach out to and share why we love you and what you did for us with. And if it's you, make it a beautiful, intimate, personal time of strength and fellowship. If it's others, direct us to the ones you're working on that are open, that are prepared. And if it's ourselves, Lord, give it to us where and when we need it the most from your word. Amen.